It seems there are never enough Christmas lights to combat the long, dark nights of December. I hung Christmas lights on my house for the first time this year, and as I was setting up the timer, I realized it was already dark enough at 4:30 to throw the switch. I'm pleased with the fruits of my labor. It's no Candy Cane Lane, but it brings me joy each time I see it. And I hope everyone who drives by it appreciates my small offering of seasonal joy. But what if I told you, instead of driving around in search of beautiful Christmas light displays, that the lights might come to you? This year, I'd like to bring you a little history of Christmas on the water. Have you ever heard of the Christmas ships? While working on this episode, I came across all kinds of Christmas ships. There were the wartime humanitarian aid campaigns to bring presents to war orphans. Those ships sailed in 1913 and 1947. Well, 1948. They left a little late. There was also reference to Santa coming to Bremerton on the good ship Lollipop with his friend Joey the Clown, as part of the annual Shell Christmas show in 1940. I tried to find out more about what this was. There are a lot of West Coast small town newspapers announcing that the Shell Christmas show is coming to town. One of them even said it was a decade-long tradition. It seems to have been a parade that included clowns and magicians and, of course, Santa Claus, sponsored by Shell. Yes, that Shell. By 1920, they were the largest producer of oil in the world, and they were one of the seven sisters that dominated the oil and gas industry into the 1970s, so I guess they had the money. In 1941, Seattle held its first Christmas ship parade. But we were in the middle of World War II, and there was a blackout on, so the ships could have no lights on them. And this is referenced in a book I don't have a copy of, but is properly footnoted. And it's contradicted by Argosy Cruises in Seattle, who run the official Christmas ship now. They say the first actual Christmas ship ran in 1949. I'm honestly not sure which one is true. But someone in Bremerton must have seen that Christmas ship in 1949, because in 1950, the Bremerton Yacht Club pitched in to sponsor the Seattle Christmas ship taking a trip to Bremerton. And they must have liked it, because in 1951, the Bremerton Yacht Club had their own inaugural Christmas ship run. The first Bremerton Christmas ship was the Donnelly, owned by Ray Hart. She spent 5 nights cruising the shoreline, lit up, and playing Christmas music. Folks who caught sight of the Donnelly blinked their house lights in acknowledgement, and many called the yacht club after to deliver their compliments. And Mr. Hart continues to lead the charge in the earliest years, usually sailing the Donnelly. In 1952, he adds a giant illuminated Santa to the crew. And in 53, he hangs an 8-foot-tall silver star on the top of the boat. In 1954, the yacht club started taking requests. Parents could call in and ask that Santa greet their kids by name, giving their rough location on the route and what time the boat should be there, per the printed schedule in the Sun newspaper. Santa also made a very special stop that year to honor a couple that was celebrating their silver wedding anniversary, which is 25 years. In 1955, now sailing the Summerlee, Ray Hart soldiered on through the snow, dressed as Santa, calling out greetings. A second ship, called the Pink Lady, accompanied him that year, adorned with a star. And this might have been the first Rudolph ship. As you can imagine, sailing at night and in inclement weather can be dangerous. Just like headlights, Christmas lights can reflect off of fog and make visibility difficult. So another ship often accompanies the Santa ship, minimally or completely undecorated, to help guide Santa's sleigh ship through the night. Mr. Hart is quoted in The Sun as saying, "It looked as if every house blinked its lights back at us, and we could hear the kids on the shore shouting, 'Merry Christmas!'"
Merry Christmas!
In 1956, the Summerlees' 62 feet are well decorated by a spotlighted Santa Claus scene. 14 150-watt lights are mounted on the outriggers, powered by two generators, for a total of 3,250 watts. Bing Crosby is the music of choice, cruising at a speed of 3 knots, even though the yacht is capable of 14 knots at full power, thanks to its twin diesel motors.
Just like the ones I used to know.
1957 is a bit of a rough year for Santa. The weather is bad, and the yacht club is overwhelmed by the amount of calls they get. But they borrow generators from the city, and they carry on. The next year, they stop taking phone calls and ask that parents mail in postcards with their locations for Santa greetings. And this works a little better. People start clipping out the hand-drawn route maps and schedules out of the Sun newspaper to mail those in too. The Sun even starts to print a little fill-in slip alongside the map. And these giant maps, they take at least half a page, often a whole page. That's a big deal in the newspaper era. In 1958, the yacht club estimates that 6,000 people came to see the Christmas ship along its 200-mile journey. Sometimes routes get canceled for heavy fog, but they always circle back if they can. The 60s are a wild decade for the Christmas ship. In 1961, Santa gets a special treat. A group of carolers gather on a porch and wait for him to sing carols to him. But in 1962, he gets a trick. The headline in the paper reads, "Santa attacked at Agate Pass Bridge," and states that someone purposefully threw a heavy flashlight from the Agate Pass Bridge as Santa was passing underneath it, nearly hitting him. 65 is also a bad year for Santa. The Christmas ship takes on water during rough seas and all of the lights short out. But after that, the yacht club brings together a large volunteer effort in 1967. The 40-foot cruiser Emmeline is bedecked with 200 lights on her port side, with wooden cutouts of Santa and his reindeer, and of course, Rudolph, with a light-up nose. Each night, the crew mounts a 6-foot star to the mast, 20 feet above the waterline. Overall, 150 man-hours are spent to decorate the ship, all volunteer. PSNS even loans one of their generators to power the lights. 1968 sees a beautiful amidship display of Santa playing a large golden pipe organ and an 8-foot star, lighted candles at each end of the boat and Christmas trees. But heavy rain shorts out all of the lights near Rocky Point. In the 70s, other yacht clubs start to get in on the fun. Paulsbow and Port Orchard yacht clubs start launching their own respective Christmas ships. During the holiday season of 1973, America was suffering a gas shortage due to oil embargoes in the Middle East. But the Bremerton Yacht Club voted unanimously to continue having the Christmas ship, and everyone donated to the gas pool from their own recreational fuel. Routes were condensed, and the days were limited, but they made it happen. There was a strong outgoing tide that year, so Santa spent extra time at the Evergreen Park dock, giving every child there a greeting. The three yacht clubs continue sending out Christmas ships through the 1970s. Highlights include, in 1975, the Lusty Lady is Santa's flagship. Oh my. I wonder what Mrs. Claus thought about that. In 1976, riding the second wave of feminism, the truth comes out. Santa is a woman. It turns out that the man playing Santa needs to be in the boat cabin operating the loudspeaker in order to call out greetings. So the Santa standing on deck is actually usually somebody's wife wearing the Santa suit and the beard. And it wouldn't be the 70s without some questionable food choices, so I should probably tell you that they served pickled knackwurst aboard ship in 1977. And it was so good, the Sun reprinted the recipe in 1978. In the 1980s, the Christmas ship starts to evolve into the lighted ship parade that you might be familiar with today. Old Christmas fleets set sail with Santa at the lead, and of course, Rudolph clearing the way. In 1981, Santa bids goodnight to Rich Passage, which is the waterway between Bainbridge Island and Manchester. But the loudspeaker isn't the greatest quality, and it sort of sounds like he bids goodnight to rich bastards. He's not exactly wrong. Bremerton Yacht Club also participates in their first Special People's cruise in Oyster Bay in the 80s. And when we reach the 90s, it seems like wherever there's a yacht club, there's a Christmas ship or a lighted boat parade. Sometimes as many as 20 or 30 boats participate. People who live on the water hold viewing parties to watch the parade go by and flicker their lights for the Christmas ship. Every year, without fail, the Sun prints the scheduled routes so that greetings can be mailed in to the yacht clubs. In the aughts, worry increases about the abandoned boats littering the shoreline in an ostrich bay. The yacht club says, "Don't be worried, we'll give it a wide berth." At some point, they started selling tickets to ride on the boats in the parade and had scheduled entertainment and snacks for the occasion. And guess what? The Christmas ships are still sailing to this day. Every year. In fact, Santa is sailing this weekend. The Bremerton Yacht Club Santa will be setting sail on December 15th and 16th at about 6 p.m. You can still get greetings in until 5 p.m. the day before each sailing if you visit bremertonyachtclub.org. And the Port Orchard Parade will be setting sail on December 16th at about 4:45, weather permitting. They will be accepting greetings requests until December 15th at their website, poyc.org. And Kingston isn't running a ship or a parade anymore, but they usually put on quite the stunning light show down at the marina. It is definitely worth seeing. So, if you're keeping track, that makes 72 years of the Christmas ship and the lighted boat parades. And if that doesn't make a Bremerton Christmas tradition, I don't know what does. So if you see the Christmas ship go by, flicker your lights, ring bells for them, let them know that they are loved so that they continue bringing this tradition to us, hopefully for another 72 years.